Did you pay attention to the young man? We nominate him a young man because that is what seems to be indicated when he says, from my youth up, this is what I have done. But, oh, there are so many things that we say are commendable. We're introduced to him. Actually, let me say, the record is found in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 19, then Mark chapter 10, and if you were to turn over to Luke, the 18th chapter, you would find a reading. In Luke 18, he is called a ruler. He evidently is rich, and yet with all of that, with his ability to be a ruler of whatever kind that was, for him to have so many material possessions, he's interested right now in his soul. Good Master, he comes to Jesus. He comes to the Lord, the Son of God, with one of the greatest questions that he could ask, with one of the greatest questions that can ever be formed on the lips of man. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? After Jesus reminds him that it is the Heavenly Father who is good, the Scripture says that Jesus looked at this young man and he loved him. I think we should love him too. Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. And he did. The young man said, which ones do you have in mind? And so Jesus enumerates a number of those 10 commandments that were given to the Jewish nation, oh, way back there during the time of Moses. And then there is another very, very wonderful thing the young man says. He says, I've kept every one of those. From my youth up, I have observed them all. But then notice, and of course, this is going to become the point of our lesson and consideration this morning. Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. Think about that. Here, this young man is a worshiper of God. He has observed all of the Old Testament commandments that were given to the Israelite nation. Jesus says, you're still lacking something. You're lacking something regarding this question that you've asked. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to the young man, and he gives him something personal, something individual that he has to do. Jesus said, sell everything that you have. I wonder how the young man felt right then. Sell everything that you have. You give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The young man went away sorrowful. I wish it had turned out differently, don't you? I wish that young man would have said, Lord, what you're asking me to do, it's very, very difficult because I've got great riches. But in order for me to inherit eternal life, I'll do that. I will help the needy, I will help the poor, I will help the downtrodden, and then, yes, I will come and follow you. Now, what are we going to do with the lesson? Well, we can read it as it has been read, and we can say, you know, that's one of the most interesting portions of Scripture that I've read this week. I want us to do more. In order for any portion of Scripture to be of real benefit to those who want to follow God, we have to ask ourselves, well, now then, how would that apply to me? I think, without exaggeration, I know the hearts of everyone that is present this morning. You want to inherit eternal life. Now, what could be more important? Oh, life here on earth is important. I wouldn't want you to think otherwise. Having your daily needs supplied, having a job so that you will be able to provide for your family. We realize that all of that is good. But you know, if you lead the most prosperous life of all, if you are greatly successful in your profession or in the job that you're doing, but you miss eternal life, oh, you would miss everything. Have you asked yourself, what do I lack? While I commend everyone that is present, I also suspect that whenever you ask yourself that question, what would keep me? What would I lack in inheriting eternal life? I think some would have to honestly say, well, some lack following Jesus. You noticed that was one of the commands, didn't you? It was not just a matter of don't place your hope, your trust in riches here below. After you've done that, then you come and follow me. I looked in the concordance, and I'm not always a good counter, but I think that I counted 15 different verses where Jesus says, come and follow me. You can't be saved without it. Jesus is the Savior. I think that young man must have seen those good things in Jesus. But what you and I have to recognize is that anyone, for that matter, if we are going to inherit eternal life with God and the angels in heaven, we're going to have to be a follower of Jesus. He has the words of eternal life, and nobody else does. To follow him means you've got to obey him. I think that's the first thing. Whenever you're reading your Bible at night, you need to recognize that there are some commandments that are contained in the gospel. What are some of those commandments? Well, if you have been here from time to time, you have heard them repeated. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to believe that I am the only begotten Son of God. So over and over again, that very, very famous scripture, John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Oh, evidence found in the Scripture. But here is an abundance overwhelmingly to say through what he taught, through the miracles that he performed that none could deny. This is the very Son of God. Now, if you don't believe that, there's no way you can have eternal life. And I am making an appeal to you. If you say, well, Brother Tobin, I just haven't come to that place yet in my life where I've taken time out to investigate, and I just am not sure whether he is the Son of God or not. Do yourself a tremendous favor. Look at the Scriptures. John chapter 20 says, these things are written that you might believe. Come to the place in your heart where there's not a shadow of a doubt. And this isn't for the benefit of others right to start with. It's for your benefit. If somebody in your family says, well, do you believe? Well, I want you to get to that place where without any hesitation at all, without any reservation, you can say, I believe 100%. There is no hesitation. There's no reservation on my part. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're on your way to eternal life. What else? You've got to repent. That's hard for some people because they say, I'm a pretty good boy. What am I going to repent of? Well, let me suggest that if you've lived 25 years or 30 or 40 years and you've not yet become a follower of Jesus, my dear friend, that alone is sufficient reason for repenting. I told you about the 85-year-old lady that I baptized on an occasion. What a wonderful thing. I regret that I spent 85 years of my life in not following Jesus. Faith in Him, repentance, being baptized. From week to week, we say this not because we are wanting to bore anyone, not because it would be what somebody would say, well, that's just church teaching. No, that's Bible teaching. That's the words of Jesus. Go into all the world. If you're looking at Mark, the 16th chapter, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. A natural result of your believing in Jesus and repenting of your sins and saying, I want to follow Jesus, is you also say to this congregation, I want to be immersed. I don't want to do that to join a church. I want to do that so that my sins can be washed away. I preached for a few years in Martinsville, Virginia, and I had the privilege of writing a little weekly advertisement, and on one of those advertisements, I said in quite bold letters, as the good newspaper printed it, baptism saves you. I had some angry callers. There was one man in particular that said, preacher, did you really mean that baptism saves you? I said, yes, did you read the scripture? And he paused. I said, have you got a Bible? He said, yes. I said, turn to Acts 22 and verse 16. Do you want to do that right now? Look at Acts 22 and verse 16. The event is, it's recording the conversion of the one that will become the Apostle Paul. And the disciple is sent to him to tell him what he must do to have eternal life. Evidently, when he comes into the room where Saul is, he finds Saul praying. He finds him praying. Oh, he's a repentant Saul. He's repenting of all of the evil that he has done in opposing the Lord and opposing Jesus Christ and arresting and putting to death Christians. But do you know what that preacher said to him? He said, "Arise, get up from your prayer. Arise and be baptized." Isn't that what your Bible is saying? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you know what is going to happen when you say, "I do believe. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe that with all of my heart. And I have repented of every evil deed and all of my failures. I've repented of that. I want to have my sins forgiven." You're not going to do that through prayer. That's what Paul was trying. You're not going to do that through prayer. You're going to have to do what the divine commandment of Acts 22 and verse 16 says. You're going to have to get up off your knees. You're going to have to ask somebody, "Would you baptize me?" And then you come to where there is water, enough water where you can be immersed to wash away your sins. And then you follow Jesus. If you haven't done that, that's what you're lacking in your life in order to have eternal life in heaven. Most of you are Christians. I know that. I know most of you can say, "Brother Gene, I can remember the time back 15 or 20 years ago whenever I was baptized to follow Jesus." Good. Do you lack anything? Yes, some lack taking up their cross. Now, I wonder if you caught that. I wonder if you see what Jesus says to that young man. In verse 21, at the end of the verse, see that phrase? "Take up the cross and follow me." Do you know that there's a fair number of folks that are willing to say, "I would like to follow Jesus, but I don't want to take up any cross"? What have you found out about the cross? Well, it represents labor. It represents sacrifice. It represents pain. Represents death, even. Now, what does Jesus mean to you whenever he says, "You want to inherit eternal life? Do you know what you've got to do? Not just follow me. Certainly not follow me afar off the way some have tried to do. You've got to take up your cross and follow me." And there are many, I'm sorry, there are many that are not willing to pay that price. I do want you to look at another scripture. It's got those same words in it. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'll begin with verse 24, and you follow along in your reading. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what, you know these verses, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. What are we talking about? Taking up your cross, verse 24. If anyone, that's you, that's me, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Have you done that yet? You ask the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says something that not many people want to hear. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You don't have to answer verbally. I wouldn't want you to. What have you given up to become a Christian? Oh, I know some folks, I've been with them, that have had to give up an awful lot to become a Christian. But this is not people in Asia or people in Africa. It's addressed to us here. Modern America, convenient America, everything that you can talk about that makes life so pleasurable, so enjoyable, and yet what it comes down to is if you lack taking up your cross, if you have to say to yourself right now, well, I haven't given up anything. I don't even want to give up anything. I'll tell you, it'll keep you from heaven. Jesus knew that. Christianity is not a convenient religion. Never has been, never will be. The true followers of Christ are not going to find popularity. They're not going to find large numbers. They're not going to find convenience. You've got to be willing to sacrifice. And whether that has to do with you sleep an hour less on Sunday morning in order to be in Bible class, or whether it is a matter of you go out in inclement weather to teach your neighbor the gospel, or whether you have to give up a sin. Whatever it is, as long as people are saying, I want to take Christianity easy. I want it to be convenient. I want folks, all people, to like what I'm doing. You're not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to heaven. I want to finish. Some folks lack being able to see the treasures in heaven. Now, that young man was rich. I don't know where he had his treasures stored up on the earth. But I know this, that for those of us that just have our thoughts centered on material things, on our money in the bank or something that we've got for what we would call a rainy day fund, if that is our security, then we're lacking something. What is precious about heaven to you? Why do you want to go there? What is there that would make heaven the most abundant treasure that one could ever imagine? That good young man, he couldn't see that. To lay up treasure in heaven, that to him that just seemed not only unreal. I want to tell you, it's all right if you've got enough money to take care of yourself and your family. God tells you to do that. You have the most riches on earth. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Well, we're not even about to do that, but what if you did? What if you were Mr. Oppenheimer? What if you had all of the gold and silver and platinum in South Africa? But you lose your own soul. Oh, my dear friends, is it any wonder that I plead with you Lord's Day after Lord's Day? Get rid of whatever you're lacking. Worries, anxieties, fears, earthly treasure, earthly pleasure, whatever it may be. Cast that to one side. You young people that have not become Christians yet, what are you waiting for? I'm not talking to the babies. You older ones, life won't go on forever. Reuben is going to lead us in a song. There's a purpose in our doing that. We want to give you time to where, if you want to have eternal life, but you have not yet confessed your faith in Jesus or been baptized, we want to encourage you to do that. If you're a child of God, but you've let that slip away, come on back.